I'm not a very good speaker, and I'm real hoarse because we live out at Winslow, and right now the red cedar is going wild and the flowers. So bear with me. Pray for me. And if I was 20, I could take my 15 minutes and tell you everything that's happened to me. But being close to 80, you're just going to get the high points. My mother attended a country church. My dad never attended church. So when I was about 13 years old, I joined a big church on Dixon Street. My dad would take me to church, meaning he took me to town, slowed down, I got out of the car, and he was gone. At noon, Dad would return, slow down, and I was supposed to jump in the car. One day I said, enough. That's just enough. I will never go to church again until we go as a family. The next week, we went to church that Dad picked out, and as a family, I was elected to teach junior high girls. Vacation Bible school was in July, and it came around quickly, like in 2 weeks. We got on a school bus and headed out. As the school bus rounded this huge curve, there was a semi on our side. All I could do was just yell, pray, pray. By the grace of God, they missed each other. And the Holy Spirit told me right then, if we had wrecked, I would have been eternally separated from my Savior. While at camp, which was 5 days, we had special speakers. This lady named, now that's been 50 years, and I can still remember her name. This lady's name was Pat, and she just told my life. You know, she told what she had been through, and it was kind of what I was going through. We all sat on long wooden pews, and my girls sat to my left, and I sat at the end of this one. Well, each night a girl with tears in her eyes would head to the front, praying for forgiveness. And God answered their prayers. The last night there, I was under so much conviction. The devil was telling me I was being called to be a missionary. I believe the devil's lies. The devil had been lying to me, and I realized I was a sinner. I ran forward to the altar, fell on my knees, and asked Christ to forgive me of all my sins. It was like a 50-pound bag of potatoes being lifted off your shoulders. I was saved. I went home, and the next day was Sunday. I told my church what had happened. 4 souls came forward and received Christ as their Savior. We were all baptized, but I never received any Bible study or prayer study or anything, and I went wild as a March hare. I moved to Springdale and began working at Farm Service Co-op in Fayetteville. I love farmers. Every time this man, his name was Dennis Berry, came in, he'd invite me to church with him and his family. Guess what church? Here. Now, I was saved, but I didn't have any lordship. That's a bad feeling. This man's name was Dennis Berry. I know some of the older people remember Dennis and Skeeter. And he invited me to church with him and his family. And for 7 weeks, two men from the church, two different men, would come over and talk to Michael. And he just wasn't getting it. And I thought he was saved, or I wouldn't have dated him. You know, that's the first thing I said was, "Are you a Christian?" "Oh, yeah." And I believed him, and he believed it. But they knew that he wasn't. So Brother Brian said, "Tomorrow night, I'm coming over, and I'm going to go through things where you can see it real plain." And he was true to his word. And he came over and explained things, and Michael accepted Christ as his Lord. Now, the bad thing is I wanted to go to church, but the devil and I had already been good friends and fought battles and everything. So I would get dressed, head to the door, and notice a run in my nylons. Well, it was more like an Indianapolis 500. So I couldn't go. Next Sunday, I was determined. I was attending church. Yes, running the hose, bad hair day, it didn't matter. I was going. I was shaken. I knew I was saved, but not. I had not taken Christ as my Lord. Michael went to church with me. We sat down, and Precious Charity climbed on Michael's lap. She folded her fingers behind his neck, looked into his eyes, and remarked, "I love you." Well, Michael's heart melted. "Thank you, Charity." I bought a new silver T-Bird, a 351 engine. I loved it. My daughter, now I hadn't been, I just, this was the first time I drove it, and it looked like a jet thing, you know, it had all these buttons and whistles and stuff, you know. So my daughter got in the passenger side, and her boyfriend was in the back, and I was driving, which is not a good sign. Well, we were going down this winding road fast because I was driving. And we all saw this truck on our side. And so what did I do? Well, of course, you turn on the windshield wipers. So here are the windshield wipers. I see that this truck was coming toward us. And the windshield wipers are just doing their job. Blinded. I was totally blinded. So when the windshield wiper stopped, there was no truck anywhere, no driveways, no side streets. God had saved us all. One night, Michael and I were driving south on Highway 71 past the Veterans Hospital and the old Washington Regional Hospital. I asked Michael if we could stop at the hospital and see my cousin. We shared our testimonies, but it just wasn't getting to him. It's just like we were just talking in tongues or something, because he just did not. We were making no connection. So I called Brother Brian and I explained clearly, you know, "Please come up here and talk to my cousin. He's not saved. He's getting ready to die. And please come up here." So in just a few moments, Brother Brian walks in. There was a cold, heavy spirit in that room. So Brother Brian was explaining clearly the results of sin and death. And Michael and I had gotten over in the corner, and we were just praying. We didn't know what else to do. Even the air was hard to breathe. The devil was in the room. There was no doubt. So Larry Joe's wife came in and said, I don't think you should be in here. And Brother Brian said, only the devil would want me to leave right now. So Larry Joe got saved, and later his wife did too. My dad had colon cancer and was in ICU. He had a lucid moment, and I called Brother Kenny, and I said, would you come up here and talk to Daddy and just make sure that he's saved? And so Brother Kenny came up there and asked Daddy, and he said, yes, I'm saved. And I kind of went, okay. But he said he was saved, and he was with us at that moment. So after working all day, I went to the hospital. The nurse greeted me with, don't touch his foot. It's purple. We may have to amputate it. I had Michael take my stepmom out of the room because she was the kind that you wanted out of the room. I unwrapped Daddy's foot, and it was purple and mottly, ice cold. I put my hands on each side of that foot. It was quiet. There was a sweet spirit in the room. I said, Father, forgive me for my sins. If it's your will, please heal Daddy's foot. Keep it pink until he's lowered into the ground. I still had my hands on both sides of his foot. Then I said, thank you. Amen. His foot got so hot and pink, you could barely touch it. You could hear the nurses talking about the man with the miracle foot. There's so many miracles in my life. You know, the Bible talks about later on we'll have new names. I think my name will be, I did many miracles in for you. And the last thing I'll tell you is we were over here at Tiny Tim's eating pizza, and of course I was watching sports, and I just kind of leaned forward and kept on going. Well, Michael thought I was getting my purse or something, except I just kept going, and my eyes rolled back, and he was beating on me, and he said, open your eyes, wake up, wake up. And I didn't know what was going on. I was somewhere else. So my doctor said, my heart had stopped beating. I went to the ER, and my doctor said, we will fix it at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Fix it. So now I have a pacemaker. I fell three times. I thought I'd broken my hip. I had bruises. I mean, if you want to see somebody fall, I fall. I fall backwards. I don't fall forwards, I go backwards. And I hit on that hip bone. Well, Washington Regional and I I walk in and they go, hello, Betty. What did you do now? So I couldn't walk. It just did something, and I couldn't walk. So I was in a wheelchair for a long time. And then I had massages, which didn't do any good but hurt. And I had acupunctures, which didn't do anything but make me look like a porcupine. I had a shot in my spine. I took pain meds. I was still in a wheelchair. Let me tell you, before anything happens, you need to look at your life, get everything straight, and pray.
I've got to start at the very beginning. I was born in Kansas, Wichita, had great parents. My dad was a member of the greatest generation, the World War II generation. He was a gunnery officer aboard an aircraft carrier in the Pacific. And my mother, my mom, yeah, I think if you look up the word mom in the dictionary, her picture would be out there. Love my parents. She and my dad would have my sister and I in church every Sunday, just like clockwork. And then at the age of five, my dad was the head track coach at Wichita State. Well, at 1955, the head football coach here, Jack Mitchell, called him. Jack was a Kansas man. So he called Dad and said, well, I want you to come to Arkansas and take over the track program. And you'll have to be on the football staff too. So he said, okay. So he loaded up the family and we moved to, not Beverly, but Fayetteville. One of the first things that Mom and Dad did, they joined a church. And they would have my sister and I in church every Sunday. I was confirmed at a certain age, given my own Bible, and that was that. This church had certain methods of doing things. Anyway, at a certain age, I quit going to church. And church, to me, seemed like a big club meeting. I know it disappointed my mother and dad. I hated it, but I just couldn't see staying, keep doing that. Fast forward a few years, I went to Vietnam when I was 18 years old. And they'd also gotten married. And in 1970, I had sent all my paperwork into my dad, and I got enrolled at the university. Had 3 days before I got back from San Diego to start school. I look back with great fear and trembling now because I wasn't saved. And you think back about situations like that, and it'll kind of scare you. Started at the U of A, graduated with a BA degree in 1975. I always found it ironic that in 1970 I was still too young to vote or too young to buy a beer legally, but I could go fight a war. I never could understand that. It just didn't work. Our first marriage ended shortly after graduation. I needed to find a job and ended up going to work for Jack Burge Construction Company. Jack was a great man to work for. I thought the world of him. I knew him and his family. I went to school with his kids. He was another member of the greatest generation. And he ended up sending me to carpentry school. I graduated at the top of the class. I loved carpentry and loved building. And there's a reason, probably. I'll tell you about that later. One afternoon, Jack sent me to Farm Service Co-op to pick up a box of duplex nails. I'm not going to explain what a duplex nail is, a 50-pound box of duplex nails. It was summer, hot, humid. My truck wasn't air conditioned, and I looked like a sweaty mess. I went to the front counter with the nails. I'm going to pay for them, and Jack had an account there. So this drop-dead gorgeous young lady had me sign the ticket. She looked at the signature, she looked at me, she said, "Little Michael?" She and my sister had grown up together. They're 3 years older than me. And they were classmates in school, and I was probably just a pest to her back when, in those days. But I asked my sister, I said, "Do you think she'd like to go out with me?" She said, "Well, ask her, you know." I'm glad Betty said yes. This entire time, she thought I was a Christian, and I said I was, or at least I thought I was. She wasn't going to date any heathen. That's just all there was to it. I wasn't looking for a bride, but I fell madly in love. After a while, we decided to get married, and for our wedding presents, I bought her a house. She bought me a bass boat. That was a win-win deal, let me tell you. We both loved to fish. So that was a good deal. As she talked about Dennis Berry, Dennis would buy stuff at the co-op, like chicken feed or whatever, and he would ask her, invite her to church every time he'd go in there. So one weekend, she announced that she was going to go Sunday, going to go to church. Well, that was my drill weekend. I was still in the Navy. And I said, oh, that'd be great. That weekend was also my drill weekend. The Navy would feed us at Luby's cafeteria on drill weekend. So on the way back on Sunday, I drove by the church. And I noticed the church, at the old church on assembly, and the church, the parking lot was still full. And I noticed the church was full. So just thought they were having some kind of special services or maybe a potluck dinner. When I got home, I asked Betty how church went. She was thrilled. She was just happy as can be. And I asked her if they had had special services or potluck or something like that. She said, no, just regular services. And I said, quote, those people stay in church too long. But before long, I was visiting MBBC, and Betty asked Brother Brian, like she talked about, to have some men come by on Thursday nights. That was their regular outreach night. 7 weeks in a row, I had different men would show up. And there were men like Ron Rohn and Steve Terry, Reggie Sylvester, Levinsky Smith, Al Carter, George Kovach, Michael Travis. And I know there's other ones. I'm leaving them out probably. But they would faithfully show up at the house and lay out the gospel. And if they were a little late, I'd get worried. I wonder who those guys are. I was a hard case, or maybe I was just hard-headed. Anyway, on the seventh week, Brother Brian and Fred Clarity showed up. And as they left, Brother Brian said, I'll be back tomorrow. And he said, I'm going to lay out the gospel message where you can't deny it. Be real simple. And that Friday, Brian plainly and clearly told me the gospel message, the law of sin and death, and how God had died for me. He made it real personal. Me. I asked the Lord to be my Savior that Friday night, and that was the beginning of my new life. I was reborn. I wanted to be baptized as soon as possible and become a member of Mission Boulevard Baptist Church. And I was baptized at the old church. They had a horse trough, an old metal horse trough, and it would sit out on the front lawn, and I think they'd fill it up in the morning so the water would be kind of halfway warm by that evening. Anyway, Betty wanted to be rebaptized. There were four of us. Betty wanted to be rebaptized. I think Otis Taft and one other, I'm not sure if it was one of John Murphy's sons or whatever. And they wanted me to go first, and I soon found out why. With me going first, it washed out all the June bugs and the other critters that were in the water. So after I was baptized, though, I never felt so clean in my life. I ain't clean all the way to my soul. I remember, Betty already talked about it, but one of the greatest witnesses this church has is Miss Charity Francis. She told you about her crawling up to me and putting her hands around my neck. I just melted. And if that doesn't melt your heart, something's wrong. I would do anything for that girl. She is a heart of gold and full of love. Along came the building project, and God knew he could use me on the construction. Betty pitched right in. She helped pour concrete, helped lay blocks, hang sheetrock. These buildings are one continuous miracle, but that's another discussion. Because I could point out a lot of them. One of our favorite ministries was Wednesday night, third grade children's church. And we've had the pleasure of seeing these kids grow up and now have children of their own. Girls like Kendall, Crystal, Audrey, and others. About 1990, I had to go to Panama and train with the U.S. Navy Special Boat Unit, SBU-22, and Betty had the kids write me letters, along with some drawings of some of the wildest-looking airplanes and ships that you ever saw. And I still have those letters at home somewhere. They are my precious keepsakes. And to cap this whole story off, Betty and I were asked to take part in Crystal and Terry's marriage. And as they knelt in the front here, there was a ribbon tied around their hands, and they wanted us to pray for their marriage. And I thought that was real special. That was wonderful. I love this church. I love everybody in here. My circle of friends changed when I got into this church. And that's just the way I feel about everybody. Anyway, thank you for allowing me this time to express my feelings. Now, did you want me to talk about anything else?
Oh.
Well, something else that happened just a few months ago, I think most of y'all are aware that I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And my PSAs were pretty high, so I was scheduled to have surgery, and I was going to meet my doctor on Monday morning. The Sunday night before that, though, I'd already talked to Brian about having the elders lay hands on me and anoint me, and also Betty, because Betty couldn't even hardly walk. She was using a walker or I was
carrying
a wheelchair. And when that happened, as soon as that happened, I knew something was happening. I knew God was working. I went to the doctor the next day, and I told my doctor, I said, well, I'd like to have another PSA done. He said, now keep in mind that when you have a biopsy, that your PSAs will spike. Well, instead of being 7, no, the test showed they were 5.7. That was on Monday. I knew about that Tuesday. The next day, I go to my doctor at the VA hospital for my annual physical, and that's Dr. Jackson. She's Vietnamese, but she's born in Kansas, so there's no communication problem. And I had all the blood work done, and while I'm sitting in her office, she was looking through all the results, and she said, well, everything looks good. I said, what about the PSA? And she said, well, it's not, oh, there they are. They just showed up. And she said, wow. And they were 4.5. So she said, what are you taking for that? And I said, it's nothing I've taken. It's something I've received.
Amen.
And I told her the thing, and she put her hands together like this, a doctor. And she said, praise God, praise God. I've never had a doctor do that.
Amen.
I've never had a doctor do that. She said, now let me tell you how God worked in her life. So when she got through, you know, it was about time for me to leave, and she reached over and grabbed my hand. She said, let's have prayer. Let's pray. In her office. And we got up, and she said, every patient that I have on their charts, she said, if I pray with them, I'll put a PWP, prayed with patient. I've never heard of any doctor doing that. But I feel blessed to have her. And then when we were getting the hands laid on us, when we got ready to leave, I had Betty's transfer chair. Well, go ahead.
Thank you. Okay, I had fallen twice, and I couldn't walk. It hurt so bad to walk. So I was in my wheelchair, and I could kind of get from a chair to a sofa with a cane, and I asked Brother Brian if I could be anointed and prayed over, and he said, sure. So we were back in one of the buildings, and they had just chairs for us. So we sat down in the chairs, and they poured like olive oil on my head, and just massaged it in, and you could feel something happening. And I was praying for him, and he was praying for me. And so when it was over, Michael said, "Let me get your wheelchair." And I said, "No, I don't need it. I can walk." And I haven't been in that wheelchair since.
That's right.
Thank you for letting us share.